5, and then we'll pray, and we'll get right into the message tonight. The Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Tonight, I want to bring you a message entitled, "So, how would you spend it?" So, how would you spend it? Father, I pray that you would help us tonight, teach us. Father, remind us. Father, we're not probably not going to hear anything we haven't heard before, but Father, I do pray that you would remind us. I pray that you might prick our hearts regarding the truths that we're going to look at tonight. And Father, I pray that it would stir us to go out this week and to live every single day with purpose. I pray that we do that already, but I pray that we would live every single day with purpose and be reminded of what we're going to hear tonight. We love you, Lord. Be with those that are away from us tonight for whatever reason. Father, we lift them up to you. We ask that you bless in a special way. Those that are sick, we lift them up to you, and we pray a special blessing for them tonight. Just pray that you'd put your hand of healing on them. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for it. And we pray all of this in the name that's above every single name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My wife showed me a post that had come through her feed recently, which kindled my thoughts toward our message tonight. How would you live if you knew that you only had one day left to live? With what activities would you engage yourself in that last 24 hours? If you'll remember, Brother William Davis, when he was here a couple of months ago, he preached along this line. He preached from 1 Samuel when Saul went to the witch of Endor and inquired of her what was going to happen. And she told him that by this time tomorrow, or by this time the following day, you're going to be dead, and not just you, but your sons. And so Brother Davis preached from that passage and just gave us some truths about what we should do every day as we think about if we only had one day to live. But I bring us here tonight because we really have the greatest example of how we should live our last day if we knew that we only had 24 hours to live. Because Jesus Christ gives us that example. Jesus Christ knew that his time was close. Did you see that in verse number 1? The Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come." Now many times in the New Testament you'll find that Jesus is in a dangerous spot. There are people who want to take him and even people who want to kill him. But the Bible says that he escapes out of that because his hour was not yet come. It wasn't time for him to die yet. It wasn't time for them to take him yet. And so he would escape out of those situations. Well, now his time has come. And in less than 24 hours, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be crucified. He's going to die. He's going to give his life for the sins of mankind. So here's the question tonight. What would be your desired activities if you knew for sure that you only had 24 hours to live? Would we enjoy our favorite hobby one last time? By the way, I don't think there would be anything wrong with that. Would we enjoy our favorite hobby one last time? Would we make amends with family or friends? Would we tell someone about Christ? Would we settle our own salvation? Would we, and we could go on and on and on. All of us may give different and varied answers to this question. However, in tonight's text, in John chapter 13, and really in the chapters following, we have an individual, the individual, who knew that he had less than 24 hours to live, and he shows us exactly what he would do and what he did do with those final hours. Our passage says that he has given us an example, and we'll see that as we get down into the passage tonight. Not necessarily, the example that he mentions here is not speaking of how we should live our last 24 hours. That's not what it's talking about. But he has given us an example. It's not necessarily how to live our final 24 hours, but it is how to live every single day of our lives. Not just the last one, but every single one leading up to the last one. And so I want us to see, and we're going to go from chapter 13 to chapter 17, and don't get worried because we're not going to read all of that tonight, but I want to give you three activities, and we could probably add some. I know three is a pastor's perfect number, isn't it? Right? It's got to be 3 points, right? But I do want us to see three activities that Christ engaged himself in those last 24 hours. And I pray that it'll be a help to us tonight, really a challenge to us tonight, to think about, you know what? From right now until tomorrow, Monday at 6:30, you know what? This could be my last 24 hours. Now, we don't hope that, do we? And we're not asking for that tonight by any means, but it could be. How should I live my last 24 hours? How should I live every single day of my life? Let's see tonight if we could. First of all, I want us to see this. In his final hours, Jesus washed their feet. In his final hours, Jesus washed their feet. That's what John 13 is all about, or at least the first part of John chapter number 13. And he gives us several examples in these really first 17 verses, if we will. Look at verse number 6. We stopped at verse 5. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. See, Christ knows that he has less than 24 hours to live. He knows he's going to go to the cross of Calvary. He knows he's going to die for the sin of mankind. He knows that the wrath of the Father is going to be placed on him. He knows that the sin of all the world is going to be placed on him. And what is he doing? He's washing feet. He's serving. And so what does he give us tonight? What example does he give us? He tells them in verse number 15, I have given you an example. What example does he give? He gives, first of all, he gives them an example of service. He examples service. His last 24 hours, what is Christ doing? He's serving. Now, our last 24 hours, we may want to sleep in. And by the way, I don't think we should do that. I mean, if you only have 24 hours, don't waste it sleeping, right? Because you're getting ready to have plenty of time to sleep, right? Yeah, no, you're not spending sleeping more time. Yeah, you might want to do a lot. Maybe you want to have people serving you that last 24 hours, right? That wasn't Jesus, because that wasn't who he was. That wasn't his character. By the way, he did in his last 24 hours what he did for 33 years. What he did in his last day was exactly what he did for his 33 years of life. And so he washed in his final hours. First of all, he washed their feet. He exampled, first of all, service. The Bible says in verse number 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. The Bible says Jesus Christ came to minister, not to be ministered unto. He came to minister. By the way, I want you to notice verse number 4 again. We have a wonderful picture of Christ rising from his royal throne and girding himself with humanity so that he could minister and give himself a ransom. He poured the water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. As he poured out his blood, or as he would pour out his blood, for the washing and cleansing of all mankind. Well, what a picture. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. Now, please don't misunderstand tonight. There are people that say when Christ came to this earth that he laid aside his deity. No, he did not. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. He never laid aside his deity. He was still God. But he girded himself with humanity and came to this earth to serve and to minister. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto. So in his final hours, Jesus washed their feet. He served. He served, he served, he served. But Pastor, boy, if you only had 24 hours left, wouldn't you want someone else serving you? I don't know, maybe in my flesh, maybe. But that's not what Christ wanted. He just wanted to keep serving. And so here's the truth tonight. If we're going to serve in that last 24 hours, then we need to just serve every day. We just need to serve every day. We need to have the mentality of Christ that, look, we're not here to be ministered unto. We're here to minister. Now, let me ask us tonight, do we need to be ministered to? Absolutely. We need someone to preach to us. We need someone to help us. We need to be fed. We need to grow. We need to be sharpened. Absolutely, we need to be ministered to. But in a greater vein, we're not here for someone else to serve us. We're here to serve others. That ought to be our heart. We see someone with a need, someone that needs to be served. We serve them. We serve. We serve. Because here's the truth. There's going to come a day when we can't serve anymore. So let's serve now. There's going to come a day. I think about senior saints sometimes. And I think about preachers who have preached for decades and decades. And now they can't do everything that they used to. And now they can't do what they want to do. And boy, if they had the energy and if they had the strength that they had when they were 20 or 30, they would still be going at it the way they used to. Okay, we're going to get to that day one day. Let's not waste today. Let's not waste today. He washed their feet. He examples service. Secondly, he examples sanctification. I don't want to spend a lot of time here. Brother Snow has been speaking about this a lot in the auditorium class. But he exampled sanctification. The washing of their feet there was an example to them. First of all, to serve. He said, if I be your Lord and Master, or excuse me, verse 14, he says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. So he gives them an example of service. Nobody is too good to do any type of service, right? Right. Now, I'm thankful tonight that, and I've said this before, and I don't mean to be repetitious, but I'm thankful that we're not foot-washing Baptists, aren't you? In the town I grew up in, there was a church, there was a Baptist church that they were foot-washing Baptists. And on Sunday nights, when you came in the back door, and I never went there, I used to hear my mom and dad talk about it, but when you came in the back door on that Sunday night, someone was waiting there to wash your feet. Christ did it. We ought to be willing to do it, right? But I'm thankful we're not that. Amen? And I think you are as well. But the point is, we're willing to serve. But there's also another lesson that we learn here. He examples not only service, but he examples sanctification. And as Brother Snow has been talking about in the tabernacle on Sunday morning in Sunday school, the priest could come to the brazen altar with dirty hands and dirty feet, just like any sinner can come to the cross of Calvary for salvation and for forgiveness with dirty hands and dirty feet, because we come to salvation and Christ cleans us up. But once we're saved, and once those high priests went past the brazen altar, now they come to the brazen laver. You don't go past the brazen laver. And by the way, you don't go into the Holy of Holies to do service without stopping at the brazen laver and washing. Now, we're confused about that in our day and time, in our churches today, where we think we can just have dirty hands and dirty feet and live any way that we want to live and still minister in a proper way. Listen, I will never minister the way that I'm supposed to minister if I'm not right with God. I'll never serve. I'll never preach. I'll never minister. I'll never serve the way that I'm supposed to if I have a dirty heart. Listen, dear friend, if I'm at the club on Saturday night, how in the world am I going to walk in here and preach on Sunday morning? Now, people do it. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it with a clear conscience. They don't. They've seared their conscience. But there's a greater lesson here, too. He exampled sanctification. We must not and we cannot serve God with dirty feet. Yes, we come to the brazen altar, we can be as dirty, and we are dirty. But once we go past that brazen altar, we've been cleansed. Before we go into the Holy of Holies, before we minister and before we serve, we stop at that brazen altar and we wash. And by the way, what washes us today? By the washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God cleanses us. The Word of God shows us where we're wrong. And then it's the Word of God that cleanses us. We say it all the time. We tell the choir this. We tell Sunday school teachers this. We tell Master Club teachers this. Look, when you get ready to stand before that class, when you get ready to stand up and sing in the choir, listen, more than your voice being strong, your heart needs to be pure. Your voice can be strong. Your voice can be clear. But if your heart's not pure and your heart's not right with God, God's not going to bless that. God's not going to bless that at all. He examples, first of all, service. Hey, if I'm your master, you call me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. But I'm here to serve. He examples service. He examples sanctification. Thirdly, he examples submission. That one goes with the other two, but he examples submission. He's the master, he's the Lord, but he's still here to serve, because that's why the Father sent him. We see, first of all, in his final hours, Jesus washed their feet. God help us tonight if we'll just have a heart for service. If we'll just have a heart to wash the feet of our brethren. If we'll just have a heart to serve them. Whatever they need, whenever they need it. I know we can't do everything. I know that. I know you can't meet everybody's needs. Not one person can meet everybody else's needs, but that's why it takes a whole church serving. Because this person can meet a few needs, and this person can meet a few needs, and this person can meet a few more needs. And before you know it, we've met the needs of our church family. Number one, in his final hours, he wasn't looking to be ministered to. He wasn't looking for someone else to wash his feet. He wasn't looking for someone else to pamper him. In his final hours, Jesus washed their feet. Secondly, tonight, in his final hours, Jesus warned his friends. In his final hours, he washed their feet, but in his final hours, he warned his friends. Look down at verse 31, if you would. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come, so now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jump over to chapter 15, if you would. John chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 1. And we could read this whole chapter. We're not going to tonight. But he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every husbandman, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Drop down to verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. What did he tell them in chapter number 13? Almost the same thing. He says in verse 34 of chapter 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Second thing he did in his final hours, Jesus warned his friends. How did he warn them? First of all, with a commanding precept. With a commanding precept. What did he command them? To love one another. He said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He said, all men are going to know you. By this shall all men know you, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Number one, in his final hours, he washed their feet. Number two, in his final hours, Jesus warned his friends. How did he warn them? First of all, with a commanding precept, but secondly, with a comforting promise. First of all, he warned them with a commanding precept. He said, love one another. By the way, that there's no caveat to that. We are to love one another. We are to let this world know that we are his disciples by how we love one another, and how we manifest and demonstrate that love one to another. But secondly, he warned his friends not only with a commanding precept, but secondly, through a comforting promise. Look at chapter number 14. Verse number 1, we know this passage. He says, let not your heart be troubled. By the way, that's not a Hannity quote. That's the Bible. Hannity says that all the time. He got that from the Bible. It's not original to him. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Because see, he's told them he's going, he's leaving. They're a little perplexed, they're a little troubled. He says here, let not your heart be troubled. He said, I'm coming back. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Drop down to verse 25. And look, we're skipping a lot of context. I know tonight we could really read every single one of these chapters. They give us a lot more content, if you will. But look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. With the comforting promise. What was the comforting promise? That he was going to send the Comforter. I'm leaving. But it is necessary for me to leave because when I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be by yourself. You're still going to have the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Look at chapter 16, verse 1. Let's begin in verse 5. "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." You ever heard about fathers? And I know you have. You heard about fathers or maybe grandfathers? We see it in the Bible. We see it with Jacob. We see it with many of the patriarchs. When they're getting ready to die, we see it with Joshua. When they're getting ready to pass off the scene, what do? They bring everybody in and give them their last words. That's what Jesus is doing with his disciples. He knows he's leaving. What does he do? He brings them in and he's giving them his last words. He's warning them. He's comforting them. He's giving them a new commandment. He's giving them comfort, telling them. He's giving them the promise that the Comforter is going to come. Hey, how would you spend your last 24 hours if you knew that you had 24 hours to live? Would you bring your loved ones in and say, "Hey, I know we've learned this and I know we've taught this and I know you've heard this all of your lives, but let me reinforce some things." Would you do that? I think we should. Let me reinforce some things from God's Word with you. That's what Joshua did. Isn't that what he did in Joshua chapter number 24? Actually, chapters 23 and 24. We know the popular verse, verse number 15. But in chapter 23 and 24, Joshua is giving his last words, his last testament, if you will. And he's trying to encourage the people of Israel. And he said, "Look, choose you this day whom you will serve." Who are you going to serve? He knows he's getting ready to pass off the scene. What does he do? Does he go to the golf course? Smile! No, he doesn't go. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I will say this, that would be a terrible way to spend your last 24 hours. Angry and frustrated and upset. Whatever hobby you want to place in there. No. What did he called all the people together. He said, "I have something to say. And it's not just for me. I have a word from the Lord to say." So what did he do in his final hours? He washed their feet and he warned his friends with a commanding precept, love one another, with a comforting promise, the Holy Spirit's coming. And then finally, he warned them regarding a coming persecution. Look at chapter 16. Go back to verse 1 if you would. In his final hours, Jesus warned his friends. By the way, very similar to what the Apostle Paul did. It wasn't his last 24 hours, but it was his last time he would ever see the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter number 20. And he brings them all together. And one of the things he tells them in verse number 28, he says, "Beware, watch." He said, "Watch for the wolves that are going to come in. Watch! Watch!" That's what Paul did. In verse number 1, Christ says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." By the way, that was Paul. Didn't Paul think he was doing God service by persecuting the Christians? Absolutely. Verse 3, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? He said, look, I didn't tell you these things at the beginning because I was with you. He said, but I'm leaving now, and I'm telling you now because I want you to know these things are coming. And I don't want you to fall prey to these things that are coming. Now, we know for a time that all the disciples fled, didn't they? It's one of the sufferings that we talked about last week. All of his disciples deserted him, but it was only for a moment. And they came back. And they came back, and the Bible says they turned the world upside down, didn't they? And he tells them right here, he warns them of coming persecution. In his final 24 hours, he had one day to live. What did he do? He washed their feet. He served. What did he do? He warned his friends. By the way, two things we ought to do every day. Not just in our final day, but every day. Every day we serve. Every day we warn. Every day we wash the feet. Every day we warn our friends. Every day we wash the feet. We serve. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you to go home tonight, and husbands, don't go home tonight and tell your wife she has to wash your feet tonight. It's not what I'm saying. Ladies, don't let them do it to you, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying serve. Serve, serve, serve. They wash the feet, or he washed their feet. And he warned his friends. Then let me give you a third thing. How did he warn his friends? With a commanding precept, with a comforting promise, with a coming persecution. Regarding the coming persecution. But what was the third thing that he did? Thirdly, in his final hours, Jesus worshiped the Father. 24 hours. So how are you going to spend it? 24 hours, how are you going to spend it? Some people might say, I have 24 hours left. I'm going to go run up my credit card because I'll never have to pay it off. 24 hours left. I've never enjoyed some of the things that this world offers. I think I'll do that. It's not what Jesus did. 24 hours left. Not even 24 hours left. How did he spend it? He washed their feet. He warned his friends. And by the way, we skipped a lot of context talking about warning his friends. Read the entirety of chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Read all of it. He warned his friends. And by the way, didn't we read he called them his friends? But then thirdly, he worshiped the Father. I don't know about you, but I want to go out worshiping the Father. I want to leave this earth worshiping the Father. Chapter number 17. And again, we really should read the whole chapter. We're not going to for sake of time tonight. But chapter number 17 is Christ's high priestly prayer. It's a prayer of intercession, really, for His disciples. But in chapter number 17, let's read a little bit of it if we could. Verse 1, the Bible says, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. See, Christ wasn't looking for accolades in verse number 1. He was looking for the strength and the magnification to be able to magnify his Father. He was looking for the strength and the grace to be able to go to the cross and magnify his Father. He says in verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. And by the way, he's talking about his disciples here. He's not talking about everyone that would be saved. He's talking specifically about his disciples. He's praying the high priestly prayer for his disciples. He says, "Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. See, he's saying, look, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Now, he's still not done yet. We know that. He's still going to go to the cross. He's going to be in the tomb. 3 days later, he's going to rise again. He's going to stay on the earth for upwards to 40 days. So we know he's not leaving the world at that very moment, but he knows he's getting ready to go back to heaven. But his disciples are going to still be on the earth. He says, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine. Excuse me, verse 11. I'm reading verses we already read. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that they, that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We're going to go ahead and read the rest of it. We have time. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, see, he switches right here. In these first 19 verses, he's praying for his disciples. He's praying to the Father. He's glorifying the Father, and he's praying for his disciples. But now, look what he says. He turns in verse 20. He says, but neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, through the word of the disciples when they go and they preach, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that thou also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What did he do? He worshiped the Father. We could go to other passages, to the other gospel records. We could go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed and he sweat great drops of blood, as it were, the Bible says. He's pouring his heart out to the Father. He's worshiping the Father. He worshiped him through praise and through prayer. That's what we find in chapter number 17. So how would you spend it? 24 hours. You had full knowledge that that's all you had left. What would you do? Lots of things we would do, could do, and really nothing would be necessarily wrong with those things. We could call family, spend time with family. We would probably spend as much time with family as we possibly could. Be nothing wrong with that. But even in the midst of that, we would spend time praying and praying for our families. Not going to see you again until the other side. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give you some departing words. I'm going to give you some warnings. And I'm going to serve you. How did Christ spend His final hours? He washed their feet. He warned His friends. And He worshiped the Father. And I submit to us tonight that that's how we ought to spend every single day. Not just the last day. But every single day leading up to the last day. We serve. We warn people from the Word, whatever that may be, whether it's the warning about salvation, the warning about hell, hey, you need to be saved, whether it's warning our children about the detriments of sin and getting off of the right path and on the wrong path and the regrets that they're going to have if they do it, whatever the warnings may be. And then it's just worshiping. It's praying, it's communing, it's praising our Father. And that's how we ought to spend every day. Isn't it? That's how Jesus Christ spent every day. And so, that's how He spent His last day. Because that's how He spent every day up to the last day. I challenge us tonight. I don't know how we spend our days. We have jobs and we go and we make money and we take care of our families. That's serving. But how do we spend our days? Do we spend it on ourselves? Or do we spend it on others? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a day for self. I'm not saying that at all. I tell you, we need days like that, don't we? By the way, Jesus had days like that during His ministry. Don't misunderstand me tonight. Jesus had times when He came apart because He needed to get away and He needed to refresh Himself. I get that. And we need those days. But the vast majority of His days, He's just serving someone. He's healing. He's turning the water to wine. He's preaching. He's giving the Sermon on the Mount. He's just serving. He's just watching. He's not thinking about Himself. He's not spending hours on Facebook seeing how many likes He can get on His post. That's selfish. Man, I got to go back and check and see if I got another thumbs up on my post. Got to go back and see if anybody commented on my post. That's not how Jesus spent His last day. He wasn't worried about self. He was worried about it. He was concerned about others. Served. I submit to us tonight. Look, please. I'm not preaching against Facebook tonight. But I am going to say this. I think we ought to take inventory of how much time we spend on that stuff. Whatever the social medium may be, I think we ought to take inventory of how much time we spend on that, how much time we spend on TV, how much time we spend on entertainment instead of serving someone. Or maybe worshiping the Father. Or maybe warning someone about hell. Or warning a child about the bad direction that they're taking. Hey, sweetie, you need to come back. Let me show you what the Bible says. So how would you spend it? We all may have different answers. But Jesus gives us some good examples, doesn't He? He washed their feet. He warned His friends. And He worshiped the Father. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for the example that we have, not just in John chapter 13, but the example that we have throughout Scripture. Not only from Jesus Christ, but the examples that we have from the patriarchs, from the men of God that we find throughout the Scripture, the women of God who just served You and loved You. We have so many examples. And Father, the truth is tonight, as we've already said several times, the truth is we will probably spend our last 24 hours the way that we spend most of our 24 hours. And so it's incumbent upon us right now to determine how I'm going to spend every single day. What am I going to engage in every single day of my life? Every day is different. We know that, Father, but What's going to be the character of my days? Is it going to be characterized by service, washing the feet? Or is it going to be characterized by wanting someone else to do something for me? The entitlement mentality that we have in our nation is killing us spiritually, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us. And Lord, I know that I probably didn't tell anyone anything new tonight, but Father, I pray that your word has reminded us a little bit. Hey, let me spend every day the way that I would want to spend my last day. And so, Lord, help us tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Page is going to play. And friend, if you need to come and pray, if you need to pray right where you're at, maybe you'd want to use the platform or maybe you'd want to use the front pew. And just in your heart, there's some things you would say tonight. Maybe you just want to say, Lord, I want to make sure that I spend every day, every 24 hours, the way that I would want to spend my last. I definitely want to wash the feet. I want to serve. I definitely want to tell others about Christ. I want to warn them from the Word about whatever subject matter it may be. I definitely want to worship the Father. Then let's just do that every day. If it's how Christ spent every day and His last day, it's how we ought to spend every day, which will allow us to spend our last day like that. Because that'll just be the character of who we are and of how we spend our time. How would we spend it? We've gone tonight to the greatest example. The one that gives us the preeminent example of how to spend our final hours.